two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, and you. Thanks for participating in the program. Hey, any of our show you can find via podcast in any of the places you download your podcast from. So there's that, and you can also go over to kslsports.com and click the podcast button and find the shows. Segment by segment, we break this thing down. It's a great way to catch up on what we were talking about today. And you can also download the KSL Sports app, stream the show all day long with that. Joining us right now on the program, speaking of KSLSports.com, he is our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. He does the Cougar Tracks podcast, among so many other things. Mitch Harper joining us on the program. What's going on, Mitch?
Not much, guys. Happy to be on with you. It was kind of fun today to see the TV kickoff times and kick times released. It's feeling more real for BYU that they're going to be, you know, part of this Big 12 and kind of see, you know, what this is going to look like. So it was another kind of mile marker in the off season, the countdown to football.
So it's exciting to see the times. What did you think of the times? What do you like about them? Don't like?
Well, I think it showed in week one, you know, BYU plays a late night game against Sam Houston. It's a nice little, you know, kind of preview for the Big 12 to test that fourth late night window with the central time zone viewer, because Sam Houston's based out of Texas. And I think that's, again, the power of BYU being in the West. And I just, this area of the country, you know, teams in this part of the region, it's not ideal for the fans per se having those late night games. But if you want to be on linear television instead of just a streaming platform, that fourth window can be valuable. And that was the case with BYU and Sam Houston going on FS1, and, you know, BYU getting a primetime slot in week three against Arkansas, I thought was quite noteworthy. And I think also too, you know, week two, BYU plays Southern Utah, the game that would always been a BYU TV game. That's now going to a streamer with ESPN Plus and Big 12 Now. And, you know, the expectation with all of that, because I know Cougar fans have been wondering what's going on with BYU TV and all that. I would expect that it's going to be, you know, the same broadcasters that you've grown used to with BYU TV. It's just going to be packaged on the ESPN Plus platform. And, you know, I think BYU will probably have a good production value there because it's all in-house production with those Big 12 teams. So, but it's, you know, exciting for BYU to get closer to the season, get those kick times and see some primetime spots.
Mitch, one of the things that we've kind of been watching too is this July 1 time frame to where some teams could get added. Is the Big 12 really interested in adding teams And when you see these names that are out there, your UConn's, Gonzaga for basketball, I know you haven't been a huge fan of that idea. Colorado, of course, gets thrown out there because, you know, they feel confident enough. I have no idea why to be like, yeah, we're going to look after the best for us. I don't know. And then I think Memphis was the most recent rumor, and a lot of them are just rumors. So is there any sort of validity? Is the Big 12 really that interested to add teams for the sake of just adding teams?
That would be the wrong move, and you'd have to think that if that's the case, you know, Brett Yormark, maybe his lack of college experience would be shining through if that was the approach. I don't think it's that way. I you know, Colorado should leave the Pac-12 yesterday. I mean, they would be a great fit in the Big 12, and I mean, there's history there dating back to their days in the Big 7. I don't know what they're waiting for unless they know something that none of us know about a lucrative TV deal from the Pac. They should move on and head on to the Big 12, where the markets that are in the Big 12 will actually maybe have an interest in going to games to Boulder and actually show up and maybe make an atmosphere again at Folsom Stadium. So Colorado absolutely should go. You know, these teams like Memphis, I think that's a dud. I don't think that, you know, I mean, they've got good basketball. And that's the thing that's interesting with Yormark is that, you know, he clearly wants separate media rights entity. Maybe after 2031, they position this league to be just this, you know, big moneymaker on the basketball side. Because with the NCAA tournament likely expanding to 90-plus teams in a few years, you know, Big 12, if you expand with UConn and Memphis and Gonzaga, those teams are going to probably be in the big dance. You're looking at, what, 13, or, you know, to 10, 12 teams in the NCAA tournament. That's going to be NCAA tournament units, which is money. And, you know, TV properties are going to like, you know, those college basketball matchups in the season. But, you know, I still think you got to have a lot of focus on football, in my opinion, because I feel like college basketball does not, you know, move the national, you know, revenue needle like it once did. I think football still got to be the big driver. That's why I think Colorado, all eyes on the Pac-12 team, should be the focus right now. And then maybe see what you can do in 2031 when your next media rights are up, potentially with the ACC, if you know, because they still got a long deal with 2036. But I don't think they should jump the gun with anyone like Gonzaga or Memphis at the moment.
Joe Klatt had an article about, well, I'm not going to ask you that question. I'll ask you a different one. I might ask that question in a minute. But
sounds controversial, yeah.
So looking at BYU's schedule this year in football, what is the – we're going to have a discussion about this sometime, but I'm curious to get your thoughts, Mitch. What is the game this year that's like a must-win game for BYU on that schedule?
Week 4 against Kansas. I think that is the must-win. Because Kansas is much improved, but still, their talent is they're not deep. They've got a good starting 11 on offense. They're explosive on the offensive side. Kansas in the trenches defensively, though, BYU's O-line should be able to, I think, outclass Kansas in the trenches. I think that's a game, maybe from what you get, maybe you're buying in a little bit to the logo on the helmet and the perception of Kansas football, but to me, that's a must-win, and I think if you do win that, it's a real tone-setter for BYU to maybe have a chance starting 2-0 in conference play with Cincinnati the following week. So I think that Kansas game, to me, is a must-win, and it could really be a narrative opportunity for BYU. Like, you know, you come into the Big 12, it's a competitive league, but BYU's ready to compete. And I think so that one, to me, is the one I look at and say, that is the must-win that BYU needs to get.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Mitch Harper joining us here on Unrivaled as we kind of move through some of what the college football landscape looks like in the offseason and then getting toward that Big 12 moment. I look at some of the things that BYU is, you know, just gearing up for and how excited the program is, you know, everybody surrounding the program is about this official join on July 1. So we were looking at these lists and we were looking at the ones that you that are must-win games for BYU. And I toggle between, I think, fans, because the more we're removed from actual football, Mitch, I think we convince ourselves that BYU will be better than they probably should be or worse. So which one is it for you? Like, have you built over time this idea of, no, I actually like more and more what BYU's chances are? Do you look at it and go, man, this is getting more and more difficult?
I like what BYU has done in the transfer portal. They got a top 25 transfer portal class. The portal's pretty much dried up, so we're kind of getting some finality when it comes to that, and that movement is really simmering down as these coaching staffs now shift to summer camp season coming up in June. So it feels like the rosters are coming into place, and I feel like what BYU's done, I'm actually putting together my transfer portal recap from the Big 12, and I feel like BYU sits quite nicely with what they've done. I feel like they got some core pieces with, you know, obviously Keaton Slovis is a notable one, but I feel like Aiden Robbins at running back was a real difference maker. I think he's going to come in and be an instant impact guy, not only for BYU, but potentially the Big 12 Conference. He's really good, and he's going to be a perfect fit in BYU's, wide zone scheme, I think, of the running back position. I think also the O-line is a lot better, too. I said that last week with you guys, but I feel like that's given me reason for optimism there. And I think, too, that BYU, I think, has a better coaching staff as well. You know, it's interesting with BYU, things take time. You know, we see that, we hear that all the time when it comes to BYU, things take time. Well, it took Kalani 8 years to get the staff that really he maybe dreamed of when he took this job. He had to sort through Ty and kind of being, you know, told you're going to have him as the offensive coordinator, and then he was left with nothing much else. Now he's got career-minded Power 5 coaches dotting his entire staff. They're relentless on the recruiting trail. And I think that alone gives you a little bit more reason for optimism that they could be a surprise or a spoiler. I still think on the high end, 7 wins is probably the highest I would be willing to say for this team. But I just think that BYU, there's not many games where they're going to be completely outclassed. I think the only game that I would look at and say BYU is going to be a, you know, probably 3-touchdown underdog would probably be Texas. Everything else, you would feel like, you know, there could be a shot that BYU is, you know, pulls the upset here, or they could, you know, string it, you know, be very competitive at a minimum. So I think that those things, you know, give BYU reason for optimism heading in. And I think there is also a case of, you know, Keaton Slovis has really taken the mantle of being a leader of the team. You know, last week he was at the service project with the NIL collected that BYU has, and they were with a bunch of players. Cody Epps was there, and just he's the leader of the team. And that's been something that's been a surprise that I didn't expect to happen so soon. But I think it's tangible, and I think he's really embraced everything about BYU. It almost feels like he's been a guy that's been around here for so long. And when you talk to him and you hear what he's saying about BYU, so all of that combined, I feel like that's what's created maybe a feeling that they could be a little bit better than many would say they could be.
Yeah, it's a good point about that staff. Just gets better and better. So there's an article that showed up in the Salt Lake Tribune about over-promising, under-delivering on some NIL deals. How much of that is it? Do you hear about at BYU? Is it an accurate statement? Is it what's kind of the feedback? Because I don't know that anyone really knows, or do they?
Well, I think a lot of that, you know, was summed up by this: the fact of BYU athletes didn't get their cut of the Cougar Tail Built Bar box deal. And, you know, I'm someone who follows all the promoting of stuff these players and coaches and brands are doing in regards to BYU NIL. And outside of the first 5 days from my tracking, I wasn't seeing much promotion on that. And when you drill it down, it's, you know, being talked about over $180. I don't know how big of a deal that really is. You know, the Yokavu thing with the NFTs, you know, that from the get-go seemed like it was dead in the water at the moment that it was announced, because NFTs were, you know, it kind of seemed like they were an afterthought. I mean, I'm not going to be an expert on NFTs by any stretch, but it seemed like that was already behind the eight ball. And you look at some of the prices of what some of the NFTs cost, you go, I don't know if I want to spend $10,000 on this Isaac Rex 18-yard catch that's a highlight video. I don't know, like, the concept of how that, you know, equals into a massive value. I mean, whoever did, hopefully those players are getting that cut, and that's where you do hope that there is, they're getting their rightful share. But, you know, the Built Bar thing, you know, there's another entity coming into the mix for BYU. Feastbox has been a player that's kind of emerged as another team-wide sort of deal coming up this fall for BYU. I think that there, you probably poke at a lot of programs, say there's been these, you know, grand, you're going to be making all this tons of money in NIL. But I think, I just think that BYU has done a pretty good job with so far with their NIL. I mean, some of these, I can't speak for all these certain companies, what they're exactly promising these players, but for the most part, sounds like the walk-ons that have been invested into that Built Bar deal, they got their share. Scholarship players have got their $1,000. That was the core essence of the Built Bar deal, and that's been, you know, been delivered. It's that cougar tail, you know, fee or whatever, the share from that,
sure,
that they haven't got. So I think that BYU's in an okay spot with NIL. I don't think they're ever going to be a leader in the space when it comes to delivering massive amounts of dollars, but I think they've been, you know, pretty solid in their kind of unique approach of trying to find ways that can maybe give a cut to pretty much everyone on the team.
It seems like a space that's so complicated already that, you know, understanding even what the deals are on paper, we look at it and go, oh, it's just cut and dry like this. And the reality is that these deals might be a little bit more convoluted than we may have thought from, you know, beforehand. Or, you know, I don't know what the contract looks like with these guys exactly. Yeah. And when you make these announcements and you go, yeah, we're planning to do X, Y, and Z, these players are required to do something as well on top of it. And so some of it, I don't know if it was players who had left, it was some sour grapes with all that, but, you know, it seems like it's such a hard space to regulate, because then you look at it and you go, so what's the reality here? Is somebody being shorted here, or is a program being maligned, or a company being maligned when they shouldn't be? That's the part where I think it just points to a regulatory body that we do not have right now in the NIL space, and just the need that there is to be able to get somebody out there and doing the right thing and making sure they're looking out for the institution, these companies, and the kids.
Yeah, and I think also, too, it's just another example that I think there needs to maybe stop having sometimes the kid gloves when it comes to covering, you know, college athletes. This is becoming more and more business. We're going to see more talk about, you know, people getting upset over certain deals and certain, like, let's have more transparency when it comes to injury reports. Let's have conference-wide injury reports. If we want to continue to shift more where people are getting hand-wringing over these certain deals, well, let's continue to make it more of a business, because you continue to open up these can of worms and mediums like this, you start to go more in on the players. I think everyone starts to, you know, when it comes to college sports, I think a lot of people look at it from the thought of, it's kind of an unwritten rule where you focus more on the coaching staff. You put blame when there's blame to be had on the staff or maybe administration, never on the players specifically. As a collective whole, yes, but now it's like, if it continues to shift more and more, then, you know, you start to then start placing blame. Because I think a lot of college staffs, they kind of cover this. They always kind of like to, you know, err on the side of caution and always have, like, avoiding answers when it comes to personnel and injuries with players because they're kids. That's what it's about. But then on the flip side, there's this hand-wringing over this dollar, this money. It's like, well, if we want to make this completely a full-blown business, like we already know it is, but, like, let's just call it what it is, well, then it kind of changes the whole dynamic of how we view these players going forward, I think, in the future.
Well, okay, then if you want to take the kid gloves off, Nick Saban says hire them, make them employees. Do you like that idea?
Sorry, cut out a little bit there.
I thought it was a full-on, very rare Mitch Harper comment.
Yeah, he's like speechless.
Wow.
It's like, well, ask him a question.
No.
What I was saying.
What was that?
What I was saying is, you talk about taking the kid gloves off, then, and treating these athletes different. Nick Saban has come out and actually said, I don't have a problem having these players become employees.
Yeah, and I think honestly, guys, you kind of wonder too, and I'm just kind of, you know, on this thought here, just kind of spitballing here, but you think, but I think that, you know, with conference realignment and the chase for TV dollars and revenue and having the, all that necessary money, I mean, is that the next phase of this sport where you're trying to identify the conferences that are willing to get to that point to avoid potential antitrust lawsuits? Which leagues are willing to really embrace that game? And maybe, you know, maybe this is the indirect way that the Big 12 is showing they want to eventually, you know, have enough resources and capital to play that game. And, you know, we know that the SEC is, seems like they're willing to do that. The Big Ten, when their previous commissioner, Kevin Warren, he was even telling HBO that, you know, we're going to get to a point where college athletes are, you know, becoming employees and making a cut of these media rights deals. And, you know, maybe that's the next chapter in all of this. It is interesting because, and I think that the NIL space too is a lot better than I think that it sometimes gets painted as. I mean, I think that NIL is often looked at as this, just this nasty thing that, you know, players are demanding this. I think that, you know, a lot of it more so, at least from the guys that I've interacted with on the BYU beat, they're not becoming millionaires. None of these guys are making these lucrative deals. A lot of, like, even Malik Moore told me, I'm getting enough money to, you know, pay my, get my groceries that I want at home in my apartment and things like that. It's nothing groundbreaking, but it's enough to maybe cover some loose ends in their personal lives. But there's more money to be had for sure as we get more knowledge and intel and education on NIL and maybe the pros and cons of what works and what doesn't. And eventually there could come a day with paying the athletes and making them employees. I'm honestly not against that at this point, because then it becomes a little bit more, you know, a little bit more of a situation where it's kind of like pro sports. Like, it just feels like we're kind of blurring the lines a little bit at the moment, where parts of the sport is definitely kind of feeling pro. Other sport, other aspects, we're still trying to maintain the collegial, you know, historical, you know, aspect of college sports and amateurism. I don't know. It's a fascinating thing, and maybe that is the next iteration that we do see down the road with after the 12-team playoff, you know, era concludes.
Mitch Harper joining us on the program. Mitch, we threw past Jeremiah Jensen the idea of a Airbnb where the entire KSL sports staff that's going down to Texas for the Big 12 Media Day. We would it would basically be like an old school MTV. What was that show?
Real World. Real
World KSL Sports Edition, and we do it. And, like, you know, there's a confession room where it's just like, I don't like Mitch's attitude. I mean, he comes in here and he's like, I'm a BYU expert around here. Like, we need to be able to do something along these lines. In the day we're trying to make content out of everything, we got to all be in one house. And I'd prefer that it was like a 2-bedroom for 7 guys kind of a situation. I'm just saying, I'm spitballing here. I'm throwing it out there. But our Airbnb down in Arlington is catching a little bit of steam.
I like that idea, and I think you're right. When we need to monetize and make content for everything that we're doing, I think that's a great idea, having a real house, real world Big 12 Media Days with KSL Sports. I like that idea.
Let's go.
Our fans don't want to hear this. They really don't.
They're like, I don't know. I just don't like the way that Scott's been treating me. I don't know. Just get a little bit personal. That's the way people want to see it. All right, Mitch, thanks for hanging out, and thanks for the breakdown here. And we're still trying to plan on what holiday we're going to make out of BYU's first day in the Big 12 as well come July. So start thinking about that one as well. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, you bet, guys. Yeah, I think BYU's going to have a fan fest. Don't know the location yet, but they're going to – yeah, it should be the Big 12 days coming up sooner than we think.
It. All right, let's do it. Mitch, we'll talk to you again, man. Thanks.
Okay, see ya.
There you go. Let's take a break. We'll come back. When we do, we've got ourselves a couple things to jump into here still. We're gonna grind into this next version of this. The kick times are released, as we were talking about. What those kick times actually are, and the must wins for both Utah and BYU coming up in 2023. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on kslpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.